I invite you to read with me today Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. But as we have God's word open before us, let us bow in prayer and ask Him to speak to us this morning. Merciful God, we thank You for Your love and Your grace, and for this opportunity to be in Your presence here and also elsewhere through Your Spirit. We thank You for the forgiveness we have received. We thank You for the opportunity to lift You up in worship. And God, we thank You also that You've brought us here because You have a message of encouragement for each and every one of us. I pray that Your word will truly come alive for all of us, that Your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive Your message so that it will change us and transform us and help us to be the people You've called us to be. We pray that You now bless us with Your word as we wait in anticipation in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Derby Abbey Community News ran the following correction. We apologize for the error in the last edition in which we stated that Mr. Fred Nicomb is a defective in the police force. We meant, of course, that Mr. Nicole is a detective in the police force. I mean, there are many funny and innocent typos, and they are fairly common, but some miscues carry significant consequences. In 1991, a single miskeyed character of computer code left more than 12 million phone customers without service. DSC Communications and Bell Systems pinned the East and West Coast outages on just one minuscule typo. In 2005, a Japanese stockbroker intended to sell one share of JCOM for 610,000 yen, but mistakenly switched the numbers and sold 610,000 shares for 1 yen each. And that mistake cost his investment bank $224 million. And typos even happen in the religious world. In 1631, a London printing house produced a version of the King James Version Bible with a creative commandment which read, "Thou shalt commit adultery." And the version with this mistake became known as the Wicked Bible. And so some typos draw chuckles, some draw large checks, some draw back the covers, but all of them have countermeasures. We've created blotters, erasers, whiteout, correction ribbon for a typewriter. I don't know if any of you remember using that. And now, of course, we have the backspace key on our computers, and we have spell checkers, and we even have careers for editors and proofreaders. So typos, you know, will happen, but we want to catch them before they go public. So when you read today's text, it's almost like you wonder, you know, what went wrong here? When you carefully read Paul's astounding prayer here in Ephesians 3, did Paul have a typo somewhere when he writes, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." I mean, look at it again. Abundantly, far more than all we can ask or imagine. Really? So let's take a closer look at this and also the rest of the text as well. So when we look at Paul's life, we see that his entire life was in service of the gospel. He was fully dedicated to making spiritual mysteries clear for people and helping them understand it. And he suffered much to make Christ known to the Ephesians, but also to the Gentiles. And so for this reason, he says in verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. For this reason, I can pray for you passionately and specifically." And then he offers one of the most beautiful prayers in Scripture. He prays for the things that they needed. He prays for strengthened spiritual experience, for the tangible presence of Christ in their lives. He prays for belief in how wildly God loved them, and for the life, a life with the fullness of God. So just think about that for a moment. What would that be like for you and for your day? To have a strong spiritual experience and to feel the presence of Christ and to truly know how deeply God loves you and to be filled with all that God is. Can you imagine what a day you would have if that's what your spiritual life looked like at work or with the kids? Or with your friends and family, or doing your chores. But let me take it a step further. Let's say the great Apostle Paul, with all his experience and faith, this incredible believer who wrote most of the New Testament, this saintly person, let's say he sits down with you. And then he listens intently to your story of life and faith. And then he prays these words, not to the Ephesians, but to you personally. "God, I ask you to strengthen him by your Spirit. I ask that you give her your glorious strength. And I ask you, God, to enable him to take in the dimensions of your Son Christ's love, that she will experience the extravagant dimensions of Jesus' love, the breadth and the length and the depths and the heights of your love. I pray that they will live full lives, full in the fullness of God. What do you think about his prayer for you? What do you feel? How respond when he says, Amen? I mean, can this prayer be true for you? I mean, is that possible for you? Or is it too good to be true? When we read this text, some of us may just hear flowery words, maybe like a rehearsal prayer before the wedding meal. Or some of us may actually sense the calm that comes when well-traveled and wise voices speak reassuring words to us. Or maybe those with us with prayer ADHD may mentally wander off to other things during the prayer. But then there are people also who listen carefully to Paul's prayer, and they ponder it a bit, and they compare it to their Christian experience and expectations, and they're remembering Grandpa's steady advice, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Like infomercials. Lose 30 pounds in 30 days while eating pizza. Or the knife cuts nails like it cuts warm butter. Or use this investment plan and you'll be able to levitate as well. Maybe that's the way you feel when you hear these words. You're thinking what Paul says would be amazing. But that's asking a lot given my faith experience. It seems like Paul was expecting his readers to think this might be too good to be true. So he closes his prayer with a doxology to pull them in as well. Now to him who by the power at work within us, it's able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Everything Paul asked God to do in verses 16 through 19 was his power at work within us. And with that kind of power, he can do infinitely more in and through us than we know to even ask for. But is there a typo here? God can also do so much more than we can ask or imagine, really? You see, the typo isn't in the text. The typo is more likely in our response. And there are two potential problems in our response to this. The first is no imagination. Our imagination is just bland. We have no imagination. Because some people will have no problem believing that God can do anything because they don't believe in God for anything big. So we pray small. We pray for that cold to get better, and it will eventually. We ask God for wisdom in a decision because it's the Christian thing to do. We thank God for the nice meal before us. But Jesus taught us a no risk, no reward approach to faith. To get the reward, you often have to take the risk. When the bleeding woman touched Jesus' cloak, he said, "Your faith has made you well." He said the same thing to the blind man he healed. And acts of faith are plentiful in the Bible. Impassioned friends trashed the rooftop to bring their buddy to Jesus. A soldier knew Jesus could heal from a distance. A prostitute broke into worship Christ amid a gathering of religious leaders. All of that took imagination and courage and risk. So the first thought is, if we ask small and if we imagine small, we can expect small. But what happens if we dream? What happens if we risk? If we choose faith, when we pray big? The second potential problem is that our imagination may be in great shape, which can lead to unmet expectations. Remember how Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Your kingdom come. Your will be done, God. On his deathbed in the garden, Jesus prayed, "Yet not my will, but yours be done, Father." And so the second thought here is, imagine anything and ask big, but always remember that for the sincere follower of Christ, yours trumps mine. We can ask big, but while God is omniscient and omnipotent, we aren't. And we don't always perceive God at work. We don't have the foresight to see the best answers where we don't expect them or want them. So in chapter 3 of the Old Testament book Joshua, after spending 40 years in the desert, the Israelites are finally set to enter the promised land. They've only the Jordan River in front of them. Trouble is, the Jordan is ripping along at its full strength and breadth. It was flood season. But as soon as the priests faithfully stepped into the river, the Jordan started, it says, to pile up in a heap a long way off at Adam. And archaeologists guess that the city of Adam may have been 20 miles far off. In other words, God was doing something huge, but nobody could see it happening. They saw only the results downriver. So pastor and author Brian Jones says it wonderfully. He says, God is always at work upstream in our lives. God is always at work upstream in our lives. Because you see, God exists outside of our five senses. And he often works outside of them as well. We can't see it and touch it and hear it. Yet until we can see and until we can touch and until we can hear, what we do is we imagine and we dream. And we risk faith. So this passage wants to move us to prayer. And Paul here in verses 16 to 19 prays big to a big God. And based on who God is, the implication for us is to pray big as well. How many of you know the rock band U2? Nobody. U2? Come on. Maybe you just don't want to put up your hand. That's okay too. because it does date all of us, but it's a great band. In any case, so their front man, Bono, he does a lot of global justice campaigns. And someone asked him how he has the energy and passion for these campaigns. And so he said, "You have to dream out loud and in full color. No whisper dreams. No black and white dreams. We have to imagine what God could do and risk the faith to pray for it. To pray that God would heal someone from cancer. To pray for God to redeem a marriage that's on the rocks. For God to save a loved one. Or bring peace amid war. That we may find joy despite suffering. Or that we might have a better sense of purpose in life. Or to truly feel the presence of Christ. Because if we can imagine it, God can exceed it. No risk, no reward." Now to Him, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. There's no typo in this verse. It's not too good to be true. There's just a typo in our faith sometimes. And like all other typos, we want to catch them and correct them before they make a mess of things. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, yes, that is us. So often our faith and our expectations and our prayers are so small. And we forget what an omnipotent and big and awesome God we believe in and serve. Help us to take risk in our prayers and in our lives of faith. Help us to pray big. And help us also to know, God, that You see what we don't see. And that Your will is more important than what we want. So whatever is on the hearts and minds of those here today or those online, whatever their needs are, I lift them up before You and I pray that they will take the risk of praying big and believing in Your power that is at work within us. We praise You and thank You in the name of Jesus, Your Son. Amen.